Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
So, welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Ben Kloop, CEO of Energy Pathways PLC, to discuss the company's groundbreaking move into clean hydrogen production. Energy Pathways has just signed a major memorandum of understanding with Hazer Group Limited to deploy its cutting-edge methane pyrolysis technology. That's why I don't do these reading out, because I can't read. Marking a bold step toward decarbonizing the UK's energy supply. Under the agreement, the Hazer KBR Alliance brings world-leading hydrogen production capabilities to the UK for the first time, with exclusive access granted to Energy Pathways for 12 months. So Ben, tell us more.
Yeah, look, this is, well, great to be here. Yes, so this is a groundbreaking deal for the company and for the UK, in that we're bringing forward the deployment of technology that enables the company to produce clean hydrogen at scale in the UK. We're targeting a development project here for clean hydrogen production of 20,000 tonnes per annum, which is equivalent to 90 megawatts, a production facility as the kickoff. And what we're doing with that is effectively providing a decarbonisation pathway for the UK's undeveloped gas resources. So the methane is converted through this pyrolysis technology to manufacture hydrogen. And so the scale of this project, 90 megawatts, that's approximately three times the largest project awarded in the hydrogen allocation round, the first hydrogen allocation round. So that gives you a sense of how significant this project is for the UK's energy transition.
Very good. So do you see that there's potential then for government grants in terms of this new project?
Yeah, so under the hydrogen allocation round government support arrangements, this particular technology, like electrolysis, is a qualifying technology for hydrogen allocation round financial support from the government.
Very good.
Well, I guess, you know, the key question is, obviously it was already a very attractive project, but what is it about this MOU for the clean hydrogen development that pushes the EPP story ahead and potentially makes it easier to get hold of that license we're looking for?
Yeah, so this is a bolt-on development to the underlying MESH integrated energy storage project. And it's that connectivity or integration which is a real enabler for this. Mm-hmm. So we can deploy natural gas resources stored in the MESH storage facility and also gas directly from grid to produce hydrogen. So what we can do is utilize the storage facility to access lower cost gas resources to then utilize that for processing to manufacture hydrogen at scale. The other added benefit of this deployment of the technology associated with the MESH energy storage project is that the gas resources of the East Irish Sea are nitrogen rich. And in the production of those gas resources in the East Irish Sea, we will be generating or producing, separating out nitrogen from the methane, and that then can be readily combined with the hydrogen being produced through the pyrolysis unit. This is where KBR comes in, because KBR are the biggest developers of ammonia globally, and that licensing arrangement is highly beneficial for us to then proceed with manufacturing clean ammonia. So a country-leading clean ammonia production facility is what we'll be developing. And according to our analysis, it's going to be very cost competitive relative to imported grey ammonia or high emission ammonia.
Well, KBR is a $6 billion NYSE listed stock, you know, so people in the sector will know it. But I think it's quite interesting, obviously, when you're talking about, you know, the nitrogen and the way we could use this, you know, produce ammonia. Nitrogen was always, I guess, for critics of this project, the hydrogen nitrogen in the gas mix potentially problematic. Now it's, and you know, a bonus almost, which is fantastic. The idea that also, you know, we're going to get graphite out of this as well, which is an essential mineral. And both of those under, I believe, you know, fairly high kind of tariffs, kind of difficult to get into the UK, and both kind of critical for farming and also for manufacture. But then I guess the other thing that's overlooked, these new developments, we now satisfy the scope three emissions requirements from the government. That again, that also makes the award of the license easier. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So a few weeks ago, DESNZ issued guidance on the in relation to scope three emissions with respect to North Sea oil and gas development. And look, in brief, in those in that guidance, it outlaid the or outlined, sorry, the assumption is considered that one is combusting any methane produced from the UK North Sea, unless you can demonstrate clear line of sight to methane being mitigated from issuing scope three emissions. We can clearly demonstrate that with this technology, in that the methane will not be combusted. It will be cracked into manufacturing hydrogen. And so we can demonstrate essentially a 100% scope three mitigation decarbonisation solution for the UK undeveloped gas resources.
Exciting. Yeah, exciting times, exciting times.
And the I suppose the other added benefit to that is that we've got exclusivity rights for this
That was what I was going to
technology
say, 12 months. Yeah.
within the UK, initially for a period of 1 year. And so with this technology being such a valuable technology for the UK energy environment and for undeveloped gas resources, we think that gives us a strong position within the UK generally.
Yeah, okay. So when we're talking about implementing this hydrogen facility into mesh to the bolt-on, I mean, talking about this could be, I'll quote you directly, the lowest cost clean hydrogen and production in the UK. Is it simply because it's a bolt-on, so the CapEx, the OpEx is just going to be lower? Or why specifically do you think it will be cheaper than, the various other projects out there?
Well, there's a number of factors that come into play, but as you pointed out, the integration cost efficiencies are a factor. The technology, if you're comparing this technology approach to manufacturing hydrogen relative to green hydrogen, it's going to be clearly orders of magnitude cheaper because the energy requirements or the power requirements for electrolysis orders of magnitude greater. So our energy cost or energy requirement is much lower. And so with that, we think we're in the order of magnitude of manufacturing hydrogen at a cost, a levelized cost of energy in the order of about a quarter of green electrolysis hydrogen.
But the hydrogen allocation round one was 90 million pounds in capital grant support through the Net Zero Hydrogen Fund and over 2 billion pounds of revenue support. That's just round one. In terms of, potential financial inputs, what would you be hoping for given the size of Mesh? Or is that something you can't disclose yet?
Well, we under the arrangements for hydrogen allocation round, certainly the revenue support model is something that we think we satisfy the criteria or should be able to satisfy the criteria well and become competitive in that bidding process if you compare it to strike prices that were bid for the HAR1 round. So yeah, we would expect to be able to compete strongly in the revenue support model. And clearly with a leading position, an exclusive position with this technology, I'd like to think it's something of interest to the government in terms of looking to see this technology further developed within the country. Given that, really what we're offering here is a reindustrialization of the UK with the ability to manufacture domestically clean ammonia, as well as what you've already previously mentioned, synthetic graphite of
Yeah.
high quality, where currently the UK effectively imports this entire demand for graphite, which is identified by the country as being a critical mineral. So having an industrial capability to manufacture graphite within the UK, I would have thought clearly should be an exciting proposition for the UK government.
Yes, that's a perfect politician's answer. I didn't quite answer the question, but they don't worry. There's nothing you can do about it. I don't know, almost like the emails I get back repeatedly from the Department of Zero and from, the NTSA, but such is life. So in terms of the scope of studies that you're planning, obviously this is a memorandum of understanding, so just the initial stage. But obviously Hayes got this strategic alliance with KBR, and we've got this kind of unique kind of technology to produce low carbon ammonia. But what are the next steps? I guess what's the plan for the next kind of 6 months with the MOU?
First of all, is to then go to agree a scope of study work with Hazer as well as with KBR. They're keen to get going with us, and that really is looking to then take the design of our target development through the concept and pre-FEED rounds to get to a design spec up to FEED that enables us to take the project forward. At the end of the day, that technology on completion of pre-FEED and FEED activities through the study arrangements or the study work program will conclude in a performance guaranteed design facility so we can then progress into the development phase.
Oh, excellent. Can we just take a step back for a second? Because I want to talk about just gas storage in general in Europe. Because we're in the summer at the moment, and no one's really thinking about it. Most of the people think about air conditioning more than anything else. But we have the lowest gas storage in Europe, and that's with the Rough facility kind of partially reopened by Centrica. It might close down again relatively soon. You know, we have 12 average days of consumption, or roughly a week during the peak winter demand, sort of December, January. If you look across Europe, Germany has 3 months. France around 3 months, Netherlands around 4 months. We're kind of vulnerable. So when you've got a project that's, you know, being designed, is ready to go, why is it that there's a delay for a license to be awarded? Because it seems to me that we have a strategic issue in the UK and private capital is prepared to solve it. So it is a no-brainer to anyone looking from the outside. So from the inside, what's going on?
Yeah, look, I'd be speculating what's going on, but your points are, I think, clear in that the country, as it transitions from having an abundance effect of domestic gas production to rapidly declining and relying on imports for its gas needs, which are going to be critical into the future in any transition scenario, those gas requirements are going to be imported. And by 2030, we're looking at 80% imported gas into the UK. And so having security of that supply is going to be critical for the UK's energy independence, energy security, especially in a globally unstable world that the country is increasingly, you know, living within. So gas storage, to my mind, is absolutely essential for the country's energy security. As you pointed out, the UK has effectively one of the lowest capabilities of gas storage. And you know, other countries take the view that energy security is key for its energy independence and national security, quoting Keir Starmer here. So I'm sure that the you know, common sense will prevail. And this gas needs to be brought, sorry, this asset needs to be brought into the market, especially when over half of the UK's very small or minimal storage capability is at risk of being shut down by Centrica shortly.
Well, I mean, to put that into perspective, the Rough field, I think it's got around 500 million firms of storage. Mesh, you're planning for 600 million, but then Knox and Lowry, you know, later on, you could boost it to 1.8 billion firms. So, you know, it could be a continental leader in terms of energy storage capacity, which sounds ridiculous for the market capitalization of a company. But when you actually look at the science behind it, it's doable. You can do it. I mean, you were talking about, you know, the political incentives. You've got the clean energy mission, which is, you know, the drive to deliver a carbonized power system by 2030. You've got UK statutory obligations under the Climate Change Act of 2008 and the carbon budgets. You've got the Clean Energy Industry Sector Plan, the broader industrial strategy. You've got this review coming in autumn, and then a recent letter, Build It in Britain to Strengthen Domestic Supply Chains. It feels like it's a lot of words and a lot of quangos saying this is what we desperately need, but just getting somebody to just sign the dotted line and just get it done is what's lacking. Maybe not just in energy pathways, but across the political world and UK in general. But eventually, surely you're going to get that signature, and it's only a matter of time now.
That's what I think.
Don't answer, Ben. Don't answer. You're not allowed
Just
to. You're not
lead them
allowed to
along
be
the jagged
quiet.
path until.
Shh. Charles has said it. No, I'm only joking, but go
Yeah, look, I think it's plain that the sense of, from a national perspective, of this development is clear, and it delivers on the country's energy, clean energy ambitions, energy transition ambitions, energy security ambitions. and reindustrialization ambitions. So for all the points you've made, it's just a matter of time. And look, we're just keen to get going and bring this asset to the benefit of the nation, to the consumers, and to the environment.
The thing that gets me is that if we don't have the storage, UK is going to be paying for them to switch off the wind farms.
Well, we already
We already are.
I mean, we lost 600 million this year switching off wind turbines and paying gas plants to switch on, something along those lines. It's
It's about
ridiculous.
£1 billion a year of additional costs added to consumer bills based on curtailed wind energy costs, and NESO's estimate of those curtailment costs onto consumers is estimated at 6 million by 2030. So these are just all upward pressures on consumers' electricity bills or energy bills, and so getting mesh storage in place is a strong incentive to try and reduce the make electricity bills more affordable for the consumer.
Well, I think even better than that, the government's, I think it's the Department for Net Zero, they've already allocated £300 million in public investment in domestic offshore wind supply through Great British Energy. So at the moment, you're throwing away £1 billion because you're asking them to switch off the wind turbines, and then they're allocating 300 million more to build more wind turbines. At the same time, you've got a project with, mesh, the CAES facility or CAES facility, directly solve the problem. So having allocated the 300 million to build more wind turbines that they'll inevitably have to switch off, they surely need somewhere to send that wind power. You have been it. Back to my final question, because I'm just kind of rambling. In terms of funding, I mean, we were talking a couple of months ago, combination of debt finance from a FTSE 100 company, equity investment from a cornerstone institutional investor, at a significant premium to current valuations, which I imagine still stands. But in turn, we have, that grant funding potentially from the hydrogen side of things from the government. But also, the remit of the Great British Energy and the National Wealth Fund. There's a £27.8 billion National Wealth Fund capital deployment plan. And it just seems to me that a government-backed equity or debt position would also make a lot of sense alongside, everything else that you have going on. So I guess that's the question. Is that something you're thinking of applying to, or something that you think you might benefit from, or not, I guess?
So as you described, we've got a number of avenues in terms of financial support for the development phase. The addition of this hydrogen project, the bolt-on to the mesh project, is a significant bolt-on, I believe, in terms of making it a very attractive proposition for investment via the GB Energy, the National Infrastructure Fund type mechanisms. So we will be bringing this expansion of the project, the mesh project, to the government, because we expect it will appeal to those investment vehicles.
Fantastic. Wonderful, Ben. Lovely to chat to you.
Yeah.
Yep. Anything
So
else?
Ben, just to recap, I suppose, in a couple of sentences, this will allow you to have extra revenue streams now from ammonia, from graphite, potentially from hydrogen grants, etc. You, if all this passes, EPP is going to be pumping gas out the ground and actually getting money for the gas, obviously, which is at a premium here in the UK. And finally, you're also then going to be getting paid to store whatever it is you're going to store, whether that be hydrogen or whatever it is that is stored. So you seem to have many more potential income streams than you did when we first started talking 2 years ago.
Yeah, so exactly right. So cool, our revenue stack is now, it's got a multiplicity to it, where when we first started talking to you, it was very much a gas production, gas storage, a traditional gas storage type revenue model. The opportunity that we've really opened up now is the ability to have multiple storage assets operating in an integrated manner. That creates revenue streams in the electricity market, the gas storage market, the hydrogen market, as well as these high-end value products such as graphite and clean ammonia. And with those storage assets all sitting right next to each other, the ability to essentially play arbitrage And play the increasing volatility in the energy market in the UK is something that, with our flexible system, we can exploit.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, the potential revenue, not only streams, but amounts, has significantly increased in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, Ben. Well, we look forward to speaking to you shortly as all of these things progress. And you never know, the government might just send you an email saying, here's your license. And let's hope that happens sooner rather than later.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.